This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Hi.
How do you even open these doors?
It is, yes.
This is so futuristic.
I know. The future's here and it's waiting to pick you up.
I've never been in a car like this.
I'm wow. So sorry that
that's okay.
That took us so long.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Hi.
Hi, Margaret. Good to see you.
Again. Hi. Good to see you.
Yeah, we must apologize.
That's okay.
Karen's hair was wet. Oh, no.
I'll take the full blame. Now watch the future. I'm going to back down the street.
You can go straight.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I believe we went to your old house first.
Did you go to Belden? Did you go to Belden Drive?
Is that the one that's up behind the Gelsons?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, guys, I know where it is.
You've been to this new house.
No, I've been to this multiple times. But we got all kind of, this is our first episode back in the car since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
You're our premier guest.
Well, I'm honored. This is really cool. Is this your car?
Yes.
Now, this is incredible. And do you have to plug it in?
Yes.
Do you plug it in at your house?
I do. I have a charger in my garage.
Did they install that for you?
I had to have an electrician install it.
Okay.
And then how does it compare to going to the gas station?
Yes. It is so much cheaper. It's crazy. And I feel like the savings, I couldn't afford not to buy it. Well, I actually ended up, first of all, the statement I'd like to make is I bought a Tesla before Elon Musk came out as a full-on Nazi.
Right.
So I'm absolutely considering getting rid of it, or at least shopping for other electric cars. But I will say this. I bought this car right before the gas crazy. Remember when gas was like $8 a gallon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got it right before, and I was so like a little devil giggling to myself because it felt like such a win.
Yeah.
Sure, you go ahead. But, so it's great because then you just plug it in. I don't even drive that much, so it's really worth it and really good.
What if all the electricity in the city goes out?
Yeah, then I walk.
Okay, so it's a good, if you want to exercise in the future.
But then do you, can it drive you?
It's supposed to be able to, but I would never do the self-driving. I don't think they really have the technology in the way where you don't kill children.
Right.
It seems really weird. Yeah, I would be so freaked out.
Yeah. I just don't, because I think like driving up north, you can put it on, like if you're just on the 5 and you're still steering, but it's just gassing and braking for you. But, uh-huh. Oh, I think it also can steer for you. But I don't trust anyone or anything. So,
well, I don't even do, like, cruise control.
Right.
I've never done that.
I feel the same way. I like to be in control of my accelerating and my braking and my Jake braking.
I don't want to be relaxing in the car and kind of, like, not.
And, like, just, you know, being a passenger, you know, you're supposed to drive it. But yeah. But this is really cool. Like, so the whole skylight, it's like a big, you're in the outside.
I didn't even look up.
Yeah.
Do you see, like, it's like such a trippy thing because it's like a big window.
Yeah. But it doesn't really, it's weird because the tint is really good on it. So I don't, it's not like you get hot or anything.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about my melanoma or anything. As well, far as I know.
I'm sold on it, except for that whole Nazi thing.
Yeah, that's it's a real wrench.
He ruins it.
Yes.
But it's also such a cool car.
I love it. It's so cool, really fast. It's great on the freeway.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a modern home. I thought this was made to look like marble, with it, but it's little paw prints.
It's all dog.
Oh, dog. It's little dog.
It's dogs going, where are we going? What's happening?
Do they like the car?
They both get pretty stressed out. They're not car dogs, really. Mm-hmm. So I have a dog named Blossom who is famous for throwing up within 5 minutes of being in the car.
Oh, yeah.
I think she thinks I'm driving her back to the pound.
No.
Yeah. And I try to tell her, but she won't listen. And then Frank just is always kind of stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't love it, but yeah.
Maybe with time.
Maybe if I just keep torturing both of them, they'll get into it.
Time heals all dog trauma.
My little dog that loves the car, but she always knows when we're home because I do this really hard left into the driveway that I don't ever make in any other situation. So that's when she knows we're home.
Yep.
And that she has like this bed that is like in the front seat and it's got like a little harness. So it's like her seat belt.
Mm-hmm.
And she just really loves the car.
Aww.
She's very comfortable in it.
I love your dog, Margaret.
She's
and
sweet.
I'm not like, it's a Chihuahua and maybe something else.
She's a Chihuahua-Dalmatian mix, but I don't see the Dalmatian.
I don't either. I would not expect that dog to fight fire.
Is she bigger than a regular Chihuahua?
She's about 5 pounds. 5.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Like, it is a full-on dog that you could have in this purse.
Yeah. She's like a Juicy Couture Y2K flip phone.
Paris Hilton,
that's hot dog. Like, it's a very little, you know, velour tracksuit.
Yeah. Your dog is a Los Angeles when I moved here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's very Melrose in 2002.
Yeah.
And need we forget the movie Beverly Hills Chihuahua?
Yeah.
Very that.
Your dog always has her midriff showing.
But she's really into crop tops and she's very...
Belly chains
and mat Pilates. She does a lot of mat Pilates.
She keeps it tight.
But your dog's eyes, there's so much. I just was staring into that dog's eyes.
She loves men.
Oh.
She loves men so much. It's really embarrassing.
So I shouldn't have taken it personally.
Well, it's just she loves any man, she loves all of the men of Largo in particular, like Flanny and Michael. And she loves guys.
That show that I was honored to do was a very magical night, and I don't say that phrase ever. But
it's a great. I wish that Karen would do the show with me.
I want to.
You know, we can do some comedy.
Yeah,
we can People Tree it up.
We should do our 30th anniversary of the People Tree and bring Bruce and Sully.
What is the People Tree?
Margaret and I can't believe I've never told you this. Margaret and I, what year was that? Like 97, 96?
Yeah, I think it was like 96.
We wrote a sketch show and just put it up. And it was like me, Margaret, we had Jeff Hatz in it.
Jeff was really great. Bruce Daniels.
Bruce Daniels.
And Julie McCullough.
Julie McCullough, John Travis.
Oh, John Travis. And John Travis was kind of like, he was more of an outer member, so he was maybe more like the Buck Henry, or he would have maybe done like the Mr. Bill kind of sketches. Like he was sort of a little bit like outside of it, but still in it.
Honorary.
And so the sketches we did, we had two picture frames, and then we would put the sketches happening in, the comedy were happening in the sketch, the picture frames.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. And then we did something parodying the Canadian Broadcasting Company. Some kind of like, it was like a Canadian children's show.
Yeah. I don't.
It was a teen show.
I shudder to think what those sketches were like. I know there was one where like you were winning an award and then I was at home, like in my picture frame, I was drunk at home. Remember that one where I was just kind of like, this is my time or whatever. It was very like a little bit Grey Gardens.
It was funny.
Nervous breakdown. There were some highlights. There were some lowlights.
I think you broke your leg too.
I broke my ankle at that fucking theater in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Like during or before?
Sprained. I did this thing when we were rehearsing and I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I ran across the stage, did a jump just because I was like so happy and having so much fun. When I landed, I landed right on a black wire that didn't have any like warning tape on it. And so I just slid and then rolled my ankle. And then just had this fucked up ankle.
I hate when people get punished for having fun.
That's what it felt like. It was very dramatic.
Did I tell you about the time that I was Howard Kramer's backup dancer and broke my arm during a show and did not know? I did the diving worm and there was a mattress and I missed the mattress. But I continued to dance.
Shit.
And found out later that I had broken my arm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Surprisingly, though, there's a whole spectrum when it comes to arm breaking. And mine was at the very low.
Hairline fracture?
Yeah. Hairline. Or green stick, as they often say.
Oh.
But not as often as hairline. So why did I even say
Do
that?
Do you need a cast?
I didn't. It was too late. It had healed on its own.
Oh.
Yeah.
You powered through it. Sorry, Margaret. I'm just randomly driving. Do you want me to take you anywhere specific, or should we just drive around?
We can drive around. I suggested the Korean Market, but that's very close to here. If you wanted to go there, you could just go right.
Okay.
Here or towards the right. Yeah.
Well, when I mentioned that we will take you somewhere, I didn't mean to plant the idea that we would go into the market and be able to record. We aren't that mobile, even though we're in a car.
Well, then let's just drive.
Okay.
We're fine.
But if you had planned and brought a list for the Korean Market, we can go there.
No, it's all right.
Even after recording.
Are you going to get a bunch of those really awesome gummies that are like kiwi flavored and shit that you can't get from here?
They're all like individually packed. They're so good.
They're so good.
I do love the very realistic grape flavors.
Oh.
All of those gummies are really, really good.
A white grape gummy
is like
you didn't know you wanted it until you're eating it.
It's so delicious.
Yeah, our whole lives, we just assume that it's okay, that purple grape flavor, it's nowhere near what grape is. It's a candy flavor.
Right.
But those Asian, like a muscat grape or very real, hyper-realistic, but there's not really a real flavor. It's very interesting.
They're trying to match a thing. I really, because of my deep passion for gummy candies, I had no idea how good and is it Korean or is it Japanese?
I think the ones that you were specifically thinking of are Japanese. They're individually wrapped ones.
Yeah.
The kiwi ones are Japanese.
So it's kind of racist that I'm even talking about
No. I mean, they're all sort of like all marketed to them. Asia is like a big, big... They're all kind of the same in a way.
Yes.
That like school of candy and the peach ones. That's very Japanese, like a white peach.
Oh yeah.
So good. It's so good.
I think I've only had white peach in tea form.
Oh yeah.
It seems like a tea flavor.
But the candy, I love a sour cola bottle.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh yeah. I haven't had one of those since I was 10?
I feel like the cola ones, the Coke bottles, are harder to chew than all of the gummies.
Yeah.
They're the biggest challenge.
Well, they're trying to remind you that in real life, they are indeed made of glass.
Right.
So much like the, you know, when you're digging into a whole bowl of runts and then you come upon the banana, it's just reminding you, don't bite into a banana peel. That's why they're rock hard.
The runts are the ones that are, they have like a little hard banana.
Yeah.
Yep.
So hard. I guess because they're longer and they were like, hey, these are getting brittle in the bag.
Yeah.
What do we do? Let's make them tooth chippingly hard. And they'll maintain their integrity.
The kids will love the integrity. I love runts.
I just love miniatures, and I love the Fruit of the Loom logo, and I love tiny fruit. I'm not going to hide it anymore.
You don't
it's
have
so
to.
It's so good. It's so, yeah, my mouth is really watering.
If you had to, if we were to stop at any store right now,
Uh-oh.
Are we seeing a Starbucks drive-thru?
Do we do it?
Should we go there?
Margaret, we used to always go through the Starbucks drive-thru so much so that any time I have a show, I would receive Starbucks cards. And I, through the entire pandemic, lived off of them.
I love it.
It's been a year since I received one. And
now it's time. We'll go.
I'm not.
Let's do it.
We got to do it, right?
Your set the other night, you were very good at stand-up. And it was fun to watch, and I learned from watching you, but also your audience was ridiculously great.
They were wonderful. Thank you. You're so funny.
They were enjoying the way I was talking. I just haven't had an audience.
They loved you so much.
I thank you.
They really loved you.
I wasn't fishing for a compliment.
No, but
I
they...
did feel great.
They were so enamored with you.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where you're just talking in between jokes and that was getting laughs. And so I thought, well, wait, are they making fun of me because I stammer and am not riddled with confidence? You know, because that's never been my thing. But
it was the opposite.
They were just great. I just realized halfway through, like, oh, this is going well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay, wait.
Good job building
does
that.
Does everyone just want to order for themselves?
I think we should. This is very exciting. We haven't done this for years. And I wanted to let the barista know we haven't done this in years.
Hi. I'll take a tall mocha with just one pump of mocha in it, please.
I will have a grande iced coffee with some almond milk. And I'll get one pump also of vanilla.
I would like a cookies and cream cake pop.
Thank you.
I will never learn their sizes.
Why not? It's been 29 years.
Because tall, you would think, would be, oh, I don't know, the tallest one. But it's, in fact, small.
Right.
So it's always befuddled me, their sizing.
Sounds huge. And then venti sounds like something you say when you say goodbye at a party where people kiss each other on the cheek. Karen went to Italy.
I just came back from Italy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For a month. God.
My glasses are so dirty. I look at how dirty those glasses are.
Well, oh, I thought they were broken. I thought that was one pair of glasses.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's.
They're smudged. That's
you know what? This is going to blow your mind.
Oh,
watch this. I'm sorry that I'm being so aggressive. Watch this.
Whoa. No way.
This is a glasses cleaner that I keep in my pocket like a weirdo. Oh, and I've lost my phone. I'm new to glasses, and so I get frustrated that they're always dirty. But if you just put these in your pocket, all types of pocket residue and oils.
Yeah.
And this just fits in its little coin purse.
It has its own holder.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you. I really needed that.
Yeah.
It's shockingly dirty.
Yeah, it's really, this is more time than I usually spend.
It looks like I kind of slept face down on a cheese pizza or something, doesn't it?
Well, when you look through them continually, then you don't see the dirt.
Yes.
Oh, look. They're going to be like new.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's like you're in Italy again with the clear skies.
Thank you kindly.
I don't know if you saw it the first time.
Perfect.
Thank you.
So, Margaret, you got to do a Margaret and Friends at Largo show like it was 2003.
Like it was 2003. And I do. I actually have a monthly there.
Nice.
So you should come and do the show with me.
Okay, I'd love to.
And, but yeah, it's like monthly, like every one or two months or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun.
And you've been doing it? So are you like doing it, building another hour?
Yeah, but I mean, it's never like, it's so weird, I guess. I mean, I always try to do shows like there and then go on the road. I don't really do that much other stuff in town.
Yeah, I imagine is it hard for you to just show up? I would imagine it being hard for you to just do shows and not have there be chaos.
No. It's more that I just don't like to drive. I'm so lazy.
Oh, gotcha. So it's the same reason I don't.
I'm so lazy. But if I had a car like this, I might.
So that, that was a pump of flavor. I have more of a sweet tooth now that I've stopped drinking.
So wait, are you saying that Largo, that show is basically what you do in town?
Yeah.
Now that you have like a monthly show,
Really do very many other things in town. I mean, because I just, I don't know. Like, I'm just so, like, I don't want to leave my house ever.
Yeah. Well, there's always the gamble of most shows not being fulfilling, and then you get a bad read on a joke, or...
I don't know. Like, I kind of don't, I don't know. I guess I just don't like to, I just don't like to drive around that much. But if I really need to do something, then I'll definitely go out and do more shows. As I get older, I'm so less inclined to be out at clubs every night. I think there's something about that. Some comics really still do love that. They mm-hmm. love to just go to these clubs and hang out. I just don't like it that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never did. I just keep doing it because I still have a lot of work to do.
Well, it's like when we were younger, we were never at home. We'd go out every night.
It was
yeah.
It was all I wanted to do.
Every single night.
Yeah. And it was like not even a choice. It was just kind of like we would plan like that. The show was automatic. And then it's like, and should we go to dinner?
And we'll go to Fellini's yeah. and then we'll go.
We'll do four things.
Every night was a show. Like it was like Monday was like Largo. Or Sunday was Uncabaret, Monday yeah. was Largo, Tuesday, I don't know, we were freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
every night there was something.
Yeah.
Or somebody would be in town.
Yes, you'd go, sometimes you would, the very bittersweet times where it would be us going to see someone else do it, and then it would just make me want to do it more the next night.
Yeah. Or like Mr. Show's tapings.
Yep.
Because Karen was in Mr. Show, so then you were, like, always going to those, too.
Yeah.
Did they tape them at Largo?
No, they taped them on, where was it? It was
Hollywood
on...
Center, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
One of those two are really similar, the Hollywood Center Studios and the other one.
Sunset Gower.
Yeah, maybe.
I think, and then there was, like, a Frasier rap party. We would, like, go to, like, a Frasier rap party. You know, wouldn't matter. There'd be something... We just get on the list of some party that maybe we would no business be at. Thursday night, we had this thing called Cocktail Club.
Oh, shit.
And it was a place where, you know, you would have a party from about 6:30 to 8:30. And you would go, and it was a little bit like swing dancing, but no dancing.
Yes, it was very mid-90s. Also, Cocktail Club... like was started by Richard Rushfield and his friend, and then we got in there and took over mm-hmm. and turned it into a barn burner, like tear down alcoholism party, where the person who started it wanted to do like a we'll play Pink Martini in the background and be classy
mm-hmm.
and we're like, no, we're drinking straight out of this handle of vodka and yeah. we're gonna fucking get some shit done. And then the girl quit Cocktail Club, and then all of our friends, we just took over, and then it was our thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very rude.
But it was a place where you could meet all sorts of people, like wearing vintage clothes, hats, Squirrel Nut Zippers might or might not be playing.
There was a lot of like, did you read blank in the LA Weekly? There was a lot of, you know, local journalism warning mm-hmm. us about Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
Important stuff. Cloves, cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. Man, you're painting a real picture. And mm-hmm. it is the movie Swingers.
It's very much, it sort of predates the movie Swingers and then happens simultaneously, concurrently with the movie Swingers.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie had me taking swing dance lessons. It was that.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Did you really?
Oh, yes. And I had a partner. I had a sub when that partner wouldn't show up. And I may or may not have worn a tiny hat.
Wow.
It was a little phase, and my skater friends didn't know about it. I just went with my pal, Zach, and we would go to swing class. But it was during that time that the third wave of ska was, I was listening to music with horns in it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, it's a very Cherry Pop and Daddy's kind
yes,
of
the,
era.
I loved that music when it first came out, and never liked the name, of course, but...
We used to go see Skank and Pickle a lot live. That was part of our.
I would listen to Skank and Pickle right now.
Yeah, I love those
they
guys.
Still.
They rule.
Yeah,
they're the best. I know.
They had a song called Margaret Cho.
Yes, they wrote a song for me, and they were such nice guys, and I still am in contact with some of them. But they, I mean, ska's often misunderstood, mm-hmm. but I love it.
I do, too. I'm glad I can be open about that. I really still do. I know I was pretending that I said I used to, but I love it. I really...
It's such an up vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, it really is a good, you know, that's a good palate cleanser if you need some energy and some positivity.
Right.
But I would like to go back to you taking swing dancing lessons, because then was the goal of that to then go to a club... and swing dance with a stranger?
Well, I thought it was a healthy way to maybe meet someone in my small town.
Okay.
And there were a few places that had bands that required that kind of dancing. So.
And did it work?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, God, I raked it in. Are you kidding me? I'm kidding. Raked it in. I'm talking about people, for God's sake. That was the reason, and it was fun. And like, if you grow up going to punk rock and metal shows, it's a show where everyone leaves happy. Mm-hmm. And but there are elements of the music that I liked. I wanted to learn how to dance that way.
So then everybody's doing the same choreography, basically?
Well, yes. There was the class I took was more like traditional swing, so I'd actually end up going to kind of country music shows. Like it was, mm-hmm. it was not ballroom. I should remember the types of swing, but it really is the same rudimentary body movements. Mm-hmm. It's just to the.
Did you ever flip anybody up over your own head?
I to each side and between the legs. You bet.
For real.
I kind of overuse the spinning thing, but it's a good thing to do when you don't know what to do. The spin, hold in, back to her, back to my chest, and then out.
Yeah.
I would do that 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
that seems scary.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Were they wearing saddle shoes? Did you wear saddle shoes?
I think I just wore skate sneakers. I didn't get into the footwear. I wanted
no
something.
No penny loafers, no wing tips.
Yes, I wanted something. Yeah, you're right. I don't remember what was on my feet. I know I never wore a slippery shoe.
Wait, this reminds me, sorry to sidebar to Margaret, but this makes me think of that bar. Do you remember the Deluxe in San Francisco that was in the Upper Haight and all the people that worked there dressed like they were from the 40s?
Yes.
And it was super like intense cosplaying the 40s.
Yeah. And they were like so vintage.
Yes.
That you just like smelled them coming. They were the mothball smell.
Yes.
And they were really just seriously very with the high eyebrows and a very like red lip that was really dry.
Wow.
And like one lady looked exactly like Veronica Lake. Like that was kind of her thing. And one time she came into the Gap when I was working there and I'm like, look, Veronica Lake is in real life. Like the only time we ever saw her was in that bar. Mm-hmm. That was such a weird fucking time. It was like all of culture was like, well, what do we do now? Like, we've already done the 70s. We did punk. I guess now we just go back to the 40s. Yeah. Like, we're starting over.
Yeah, let's do that prohibition thing.
Well, the 90s does 40s.
Yeah.
But then the intense people that live so vintage, that it, to me, it's like really exhausting to be that vintage.
It is.
I love that you could smell mothballs on the, on the clothing of people that have passed.
Yeah, they're just you know, to me, it's just very. But it reminds me of also where I know Pearl Harbor. You know that the rock star. She's Pearl. She was in a band called Pearl Harbor and the Explosions. And
I've never heard that band.
Is the lady that's really tall?
No, she's probably about my height, but she was married to Paul from The Clash, Paul Simonon.
Oh, shit.
And she had moved into the hood, and she said the only way that you can be safe in the hood if you're not, like, from there is to dress as rockabilly as possible. Then that's sort of a weird cloak of invisibility.
Oh.
So if you're really rockabilly, that you
actually, no one pays attention to you?
You have, I don't know, maybe people think that you're just down.
Oh.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, and now I'm remembering that I did wear a series of Western shirts.
So, kind of rockabilly.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Well, also...
While swing dancing?
Yes. I used to be good at multitasking. But also, I moved to Austin, Texas in, like, 2003, where I first saw you perform, Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you were the first comic that was political, and you were speaking out. All of Austin, Texas didn't care for W. Bush, but you actually talked about it on stage, and I had never...
What'd she say? Can you remember her jokes?
She didn't like him.
But you know, now, I really...
I know.
I really like him. I miss him.
Isn't it? Yeah, I know.
Oh, man. I'm like, comparatively.
I'm like, yeah, how precious, how cute.
Oh. Yeah,
How cute Republicans used to be. Like, how adorable.
Yeah, I think we know now that he was just kind of being used as a puppet and didn't really maybe fully realize everything. Like, you know, the new.
He was just a Nepo baby. He just kind of got, he got, like, caught up in it.
He was the ultimate Nepo baby.
He was the ultimate Nepo baby. He just kind of like was born into it, didn't know how to say no.
Yeah.
That would actually be a really good new version of Succession, mm-hmm. is the Bush family succession story.
Oh, yeah.
With H. Walker, whatever that guy's name is, the old mean one being mean to W.
Well, oh, yeah. That movie Vice kind of opened my eyes a little bit.
To what he was really like.
Yeah. And it was funny. I remember at South by Southwest, there was a documentary called Journeys with George, where this correspondent traveled with Al and Tipper Gore in one plane. And then also on George Bush's plane. And everyone went there wanting to hate on W. And he was just so likable in the thing that it really, the audience left confused, because on his plane there was a margarita machine and he's like dancing for the camera and just seemed sort of fun. And then they'd cut to Ellen Tipper Gore and she'd be taking the F word out of rap music and he was reading about methane farts and or global warming, and it was just, and there's classical music and they just seem less fun.
Yeah, they're definitely less fun. I just saw a TikTok though, speaking of that, of but it was a really old SNL. It was like one of the first What's Up With That. You know, Kenan Thompson is the guy who does the whole long song. And the two guests on What's Up With That were Al Gore and it was an actress, some actress that looked like she'd been trapped there. It was like Kristen Stewart or somebody. Al Gore is a really funny person to put in a sketch to be boring, because his voice is... like, it seems like he's doing a voice of a boring person.
Yeah. He's so wood.
Yeah.
He's like the most wood man.
I mean, imagine like having to eat dinner with that guy.
Yeah. It would be like eating with the table only because he's extreme wood.
Yeah.
He's extreme wood. He's like particle board wood. We're just like, sir. We're actually, and G Dubs, it's like, yeah, he was a terrible public speaker and, you know, mishandled 9/11.
And a war criminal, but.
But, you know, he's kind of like that. You know, like, he's up for a good time.
It's just sad. Like, it's something kind of, I mean, it's, but this is like, compared to the Republicans of now, who are just, I don't even know what's going on.
They're straight up fucking Nazis.
Yeah.
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 They've totally unmasked in a way that's like, no one is ready for this shit.
No. It's horrible.
And they're, but what's cool is, and sorry, because I am fully addicted to TikTok and can't stop watching.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I love it so much. And there's all these people, these up-and-comers in politics that are just fucking going head-to-head with them and being like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. It's so great. And it's a lot of, like you can tell they're, like, women who are like, hey, I was just planning on being, like, a mom and, you know, maybe having my own small business, and instead I have to go take on the government.
Yeah. Well, everyone has a voice now, and it's empowering, and it's happening. It's kind of cool.
It is.
That's what's good about TikTok. But then you get onto like the alt-right TikTok, which is so gross.
No.
And so depressing and disgusting. Or the TERF TikTok makes me sick.
Ugh. Those people are just mentally ill.
They're mentally ill, but they're just so like smug about it, using that bull glamour filter to like just talk shit about like being mad at Brittany Griner for hating America, which is like the dumbest. You don't even know, like, they're like, all these other people need to be saved from Russian prison, but like, you didn't even know their name.
Yeah.
Right.
Until this week. Like, you're just, like, making shit up. It's just sickening.
How do you watch that side's view on TikTok without it changing your phone's algorithm into thinking that's what you want to see?
It's stitched usually by somebody who is, like, a progressive. Who's making a talk,
okay.
Sort of making a statement about
sure,
it? Because I
sure.
really get scared that I might get on that side.
Right.
Yeah. You don't want those people.
Every once in a while, I see them try and flirt with me. And I'm like, why is this in my. And I flag it and go, like,
not
do
interested.
Everything I can. Yeah. Yeah. But then I don't know what the. It's important to keep your enemies close, as they say.
Well, I love. When those people, when the TikTok starts and it's one of those people saying their weird bullshit and then someone interrupts, but they're not doing like a debate style argument. It's just like, have you ever seen that guy that does, he's doing like a old fashioned song and dance to the song called Shut the Fuck Up. And it is, I think he's like a Broadway dancer because he is, has an amazing body and he's like, seems like a highly trained mm-hmm. dancer with like the big thigh muscle.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he's doing like a tippity tap. With a cane, it's mm-hmm. so fucking funny. And it's like, shut the fuck up. And it's, those are my favorite, when people are so funny.
It's so, it's just really, I love how when a song will take over to that stick. So this week it's like, one margarita, I'll go over my legs. Two margaritas, I would give me some hair. Three margaritas, I'll put it in my purse. Four margaritas, I'll put it in my tooth. Bye, Margaret. And then it just cuts out.
It's like that Eddie Murphy's A Little Man. It's just a list of things to put in his butt.
Put a little man in my butt.
Oh, yeah,
put
that's right.
Put a margarita in your butt.
Put a tin can.
Is it boogie? Put a Tim Tam.
Tin can.
Put a tin can. That's right. Put a tin can.
Put a little tiny man in your butt. That was... He was way the fuck ahead of his time, that Eddie Murphy.
That was a good song.
Yeah.
So funny.
That was his foray into making things for children, because
Boogie.
I was a kid that loved that song so much.
Boogie in Your Butt was really, it's a bop. It's a good one.
It's huge. It's huge.
The things you can do while on Rowdy Powder at, he made that music with Rick James.
Rick James, yeah.
Rick James's house.
But... The other, Party All the Time is a really good song.
Yeah.
It is.
It just is.
Again, cocaine.
Again.
Well, he has a really good voice. I mean, he's always had a really music, like a musicality to his comedy and his
you know,
yes,
everything about him.
Margaret, have you, you've made music before, right? Have you yes. ever sang in a band?
Yes. I sing in a couple of bands. I have a band with a bunch of people from Wilco and actually a member of Crowded House, wow. Mark Hart. And it's called Bros Before Chos. It's so stupid. And we dump really dumb songs. But I've sang in a few bands, but it never quite stuck. Like, you know, and I also, again, I hate carrying shit. So I'm never good. Right. I'm not going to be good in a band because I don't want to yeah. carry anything to the venue or carry anything out.
Yeah. It's so embarrassing. Because you did this for a while, too. You did guitar some guitar songs mm-hmm. when you would go do comedy shows.
Yeah.
And when I was doing the same thing, it was so motherfucking humiliating. Every time I would show up somewhere with my big, dumb guitar, I would just be like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, this is, it's so, all the other comics are just standing around normal, and then I'm standing there, like, leaning against a big old acoustic guitar case.
Yeah.
Just humiliating.
It's just so big and heavy, and I just don't want to carry it. And then I don't want to sound check, and I don't want to tune it.
Mm-mm.
And then if I'm done with the song, then it's just sitting there.
Yep.
And I'm not a good player necessarily, so it's not even like I can noodle on it. It's
right.
just, it's a hassle.
It is a true hassle.
Did you have something with Broken Social Scene?
Yes, I'm actually in that band too, but I've never played.
That is a recess of my brain.
I've never played a gig with them yet.
I'm
in the band.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
They're one of my favorites of all time.
They're the best.
All that
but
Canadian.
But there's so many people in it. Like, so you could just say you're in it.
Are you, do you know Emily Hines?
I don't know Emily. I know Kevin.
Okay.
So he said I could be in it.
That's,
and that I am in it. If I'm asked in the future that I'm, and I'm still in it.
I love it.
So
like if you ever are on the road and they're on the road and you play in the same city on the same night, you
I
could
can go and I told him I'll be walking backwards on stage playing the triangle and then I'll still be in it. But yeah, I'm in it, but that's not, I've done a lot of stuff with Canadian musicians like AC Newman.
Yeah. He's my favorite.
He's the best.
His solo album is actually what got me into the New Pornographers and
yes.
that got me, and Emily Hines or the Metric is what got me in.
I love Metric.
Social scene. Yeah.
And I love Stars.
Maybe I should just move to Canada.
They have really good music because everywhere it's cold, it's yeah. great bands.
Yeah.
They have to go in the basement.
Yeah, the only warm place is the studio.
So it's cold, like Belle and Sebastian, that's the best band because it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got to go inside.
There is something to that.
It's true.
They said that's why grunge exploded the way it did, is because everyone in
so cold
Seattle and Portland was stuck inside.
Just trying to stay dry.
Speaking of which, it's like almost the beginning of June.
And it's raining.
It's
hot
raining
girl summer.
Right now.
And yeah, we're in, this is like, we're out the avenues in San Francisco.
That's
right
yeah, where I'm from.
Yeah.
Speaking of sporadic sprinkles, I hate doing this, but it's,
you
I'm a man of
Starbucks?
A certain age. I just have to use the restroom.
Well, I mean, we've been in this car for 3 fucking hours.
I added coffee to it, and it's a real, real Billy Wayne Davis episode where I remember I had to go into his house
yeah,
and use the bathroom and wake up a baby. But, I'm just going to add that to the.
Okay. We can do that.
I can even go into whatever
Everest
is.
Go to Everest.
What's Everest? I can't get over.
I don't know, but I imagine they have a mountain-themed bathroom.
Can you go into the original teriyaki bowl?
I wonder if they have a restaurant.
I bet they don't.
Yeah. I know all the remakes. Help wanted.
Hold on. Let's see what's on the right.
Bad news. I didn't use the bathroom. Good news. I got a job.
What? What town are we in right now?
I don't know.
I think we're in Tahunga.
Oh.
Or Sunland.
Lake Arrowhead.
There's a martial arts studio. Hold on.
I have to go to the bathroom. Can you guys just kick me in the groin?
Can you fix
this? How
about
Tire Trellis? No. I thought that was a Tim Horton.
Speaking of Canada.
A secret Tim Hortons? Oh, there's a British store, not a bar. Okay.
I hate
Okay, we're back at Starbucks.
Oh, good. So oh, we've already,
we purchased something.
Thank you.
You have
and
a
I'll,
right.
I'll have the evidence in my hand.
That's right.
And then I'll
just
have something
casual.
Else in my hand.
Just
I'm sorry. All and
right.
You two can talk amongst yourselves and yourselves and catch up. And
oh, we will.
I will be back shortly. Well, let's be honest. When I was in my 20s, it'll take me about 10 minutes. It's just a narrow urethra. Okay. And then...
You're fine. You're fine.
It's okay. It's an urgency. The funny thing is, I'll be standing there. Well, no one wants to hear my medical...
No, please yeah. don't go into it.
It's just the urgency, and then it doesn't come out. Okay. Oh, the and the... I always forget about the mic.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
I'll see you soon. Okay. Hi. It's nice to see you.
I know. I wish I could have gone to Italy, too.
Oh,
wait, what did you do?
We just, so you know my sister's friend, Adrienne, that I also grew up with?
Yeah.
She's my friend, too. But she and I, and our friend Janet, who's really her friend, but Janet has a house in Kauai, and we all started going there every summer because Janet's husband died, and so it was like, to kind of support her and, you know, have fun summers. And my sister, who knows all of those people way better, was like, just come with us. It's really fun. So we started doing that. And then last 4th of July, which is when we usually go, everybody got COVID. And it was like, it kind of like, it all fell apart. Like everyone kind of got in fights and was mad and stuff. And so we all decided we're not going to go to Kauai again, like anytime soon. And I was like, I'd actually like to travel. Let's go somewhere we all want to go. I mean, we want to go there, but it's like, let's go somewhere fun and exciting and new. And I honestly believe during COVID that I would never get to go to Italy because I've always wanted to. And it seemed like everything was going to shut down permanently.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of like a little bit on the spur of the moment, we're like, let's go to Italy. So we decided to go for 3 weeks. And we went to like 4 different places.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in Tuscany and we went out to Cinque Terre on the coast. And where else did we go? Florence. And then Lake Como at the end.
Oh, beautiful.
And it was fucking, I just didn't, like, you know it's good. And mm-hmm. have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just didn't understand how
it's
amazing it
so
was.
So amazing. I've never been to Lake Como. I would love to go there.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, because there's these little towns that are right on the edge of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a huge crazy ass villa that like, you know, the de Medicis or whatever their name is like built. Then there's like one of those that's up on a hill that's just falling apart because someone abandoned it 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very, there's a lot of history and it's very cozy and very like, it was just amazing. I just couldn't believe it.
It's so incredible.
Yeah. It was really nice. And then it was just nice. It was like a really long vacation, which was also very nice. So it was great.
Yeah. Florence is so beautiful.
Yeah. I loved it.
So, yeah, it's so phenomenal. Like, I love the food and I love the everything.
Yeah.
I love to say, grazie mille.
Yeah. there was like, you know, 3 phrases that we all knew. Like, we were like, we're going to sign up for Babbel and we're all going to learn. And we literally were like, grazie, you know, we learned 3 things, ciao, buonasera. And we barely knew those. So we really started like hitting those ones really hard when people would, you know, put down a plate or whatever and be like, grazie mille.
Grazie
That's like the
mille.
Only thing you could figure out to say.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun to go shopping and look at the fun things in the store. I mean, it's like not even like to buy, but just to look at things and just to eat. The food is just so, everything is so incredible.
The way they eat, kind of like the way they live structured around eating makes so much sense, where it's like, get up and drink coffee and eat pastry.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 hours later, eat a huge lunch
mm-hmm.
and then fuck around and then eat dinner at like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
It's so wonderful. It just, I love all the food and I love all of the, like, I love churches. I love all the weird, like, stuff, like in Rome, all of the marble and the Bernini sculptures and everything. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, that art is fucking crazy.
It's so amazing.
We were in Florence. We, like, when we first walked into the square where the Duomo is, mm-hmm. and the way it's all, like, painted on the outside, because I was like, oh, this is going to be beautiful. My dad actually made me watch a documentary about the Duomo, because the guy that built it, he wasn't an architect. Mm-hmm. He just was like, I have this plan, and I'm going to build it. And then they were like, it shouldn't have stayed up. And for some reason, it did. Like, they don't know how he did it. Like, you know, one of those kind of Catholic dream stories or whatever. So I'm like, oh, yeah, we should go look at that. Sure, whatever. But then you come around the corner, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, the way it's painted and the way it's designed, it's just unbelievable.
Is the Duomo near Lake Cuomo?
Did home gym go?
No. Home gym's home, but he's good. He doesn't like traveling. He's kind of like a bad hip.
Mm-hmm.
So home gym. Thanks for listening to my podcast.
Of course.
Home gym, his thing is he went to the Lazy Boy recliner store in Santa Rosa. And he walked in and bought an entire living room set that was already set up because he wanted to get one of those chairs that stands you up and dumps you out, that old people use.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't want it to be like a weird, almost like medical thing in the front room.
Uh-huh.
So he got a couch and a love seat that match and a new coffee table and a new rug.
Oh, good.
And so he like redid the front room, which he won't throw my mom's clothes away.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, you redid the front room. And now he has this chair that, like, he's like, watch this. And it, like, stands him up. And then he gets up and walks around. I know.
That's great.
It's the cutest.
So, I love it.
Yeah. So he's very happy with his gigantic TV and his, you know, sports constantly.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Speaking of the 90s and right-wing politics, that place was playing Morrissey so loud, and the entire staff was like singing, like it was like a fun party in there.
Oh, nice.
This is my favorite Starbucks now.
I wonder if they're getting ready to close.
Yeah, it had a real
closing.
Yes.
Closing.
That's a band called Semisonic.
I know those guys.
Really?
It's yet another band.
I'm not in their band, but they are really cool.
Well, other than that song, and surprisingly, their other songs were in some skate videos, I like them. No one likes that song. I think that's, now I feel bad. I personally, that one song isn't their best song.
Know what song I've been really obsessed with? And it's so weird because I've been listening to this band called Bowling for Soup.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like 90s, but it was like Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of their songs are so beautiful.
I think once I tried to go get Let's Go Bowling, speaking of ska, and got Bowling for Soup instead.
They
didn't give it a
chance. Some of the arrangements are really majestic, and which is so surprising for a band called Bowling for Soup.
I know. I assumed they were like, they would have been like Dead Milkman style joke songs.
Kind of, but it's, you know what they're like? They're like Fountains of Wayne.
Oh.
You know, it's like that pop there's like one kind of jokey song that maybe gets them on the radio, but then their catalog is like so full of amazing, really wondrous pop hits.
Hmm.
I was just really kind of like shocked at how I've been very like listening to a lot of the Y2K songs that I missed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's in there. Things from Dishwalla. And, things were lit and
stuff Big Rick Stewart would play for us in the afternoon.
Absolutely. Like you just, there's so much music that we kind of missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because I couldn't see past the ear gauges and the big wide pants.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't realize how deep the music actually was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should really revisit. Good. I've been listening to Hum, which I often confuse for lit.
Very, very, very much in that. It's kind of like in that 311 kind of area.
Yeah. 311, as Howard Kramer says, is the 9/11 of bands, but I don't fully agree because I'm nostalgic for it. It reminds me of,
you know,
they weren't bad.
I love them.
Yeah, living in a snowboard house with a bunch of people that with smelly boots, and that was the best time of my life.
It reminds me of, remember Pond?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pond was good. Mm-hmm. I felt like there were, I feel like there was one, and I felt like maybe this was a Bumbershoot show, or maybe we were on the road, I was opening for you, Margaret, where there was a Portland show in that Crystal Ballroom where the floor
yes.
bounced.
Yes.
And we went and saw, it wasn't Pond, but it was the one of the boys had bleach blonde hair.
Was it Mudhoney?
Everclear?
No.
Clutch. I'm going to stop.
not the Posies. No.
No.
The Afghan wigs?
No, like younger and maybe tiny bit, well, not harder than the Afghan wigs, but like a little pre-emo, more in the emo direction.
Oh, a sidebar of the, I actually accidentally asked Greg Dooley on a date and got rejected.
What? When did that happen?
Not that long ago. Super embarrassing.
Oh, no.
It's super embarrassing.
Maybe he said no on accident.
No. Hey. He said he was already seeing somebody. And then, but I did it like the most chicken shit way. If I just asked him directly, I think I mean, he's seeing somebody. I would have taken it better, but I accidentally asked him on a date through somebody else, which I shouldn't have done.
Oh, yeah.
And I should have just said it myself.
Did you say, will you ask your friend if he likes me? It was one of those.
It was kind of like that. Yeah, like I'm in second grade.
The old yes, no, maybe box.
Yeah. So embarrassing.
I'm check like, one, please.
Oh. I'm in my mid-50s. I can't be doing that.
But look, here's the thing. Here's the upside of doing that. When the no response came back, you were just safe at home.
Yeah, I don't have to drive anywhere. I'm glad. So thank God. I would have had to drive somewhere.
Oh, the pain.
So embarrassing. But what band did we go see?
Toadies.
It had a Toadies vibe. Like more in that realm.
I'm usually good at this.
I feel
Big
like...
Big Head Todd? No.
And the Monsters?
But I feel like Big Head Todd and those and Mudhoney were like long hair dudes. And these right. were like the kind of... A little bit after those guys in the when the short hair, more Portland.
Yeah.
Helmet.
Sounds like Helmet. I mean, Helmet was very hard.
I can still listen to Helmet and will and do.
Well, there was one place where we, I remember that we had come in and I'm not sure, but we were at the place where there was a Slipknot show. And we were just looking at the people in line at the Slipknot show going, oh, that's an interesting
people. There's so many things you can do with a zipper.
Do they look kind of like they, I mean, what did you say?
So many things you can do with a zipper.
That's right.
Yeah.
Lots of zipper, lots of, you know, people just in macrame or like kind of a burlap sack for a face, like a big mask with one hole for an eye.
Yeah. And a button on the other eye.
With maggots spilling out of it.
You know, in a pinch, you could just put that together. Just a quick trip to Joanne Fabrics and get some burlap, you know.
You last minute Slipknot tickets that you have to run down to Michael's
real fast.
Get your shit together. They're like, are you going to dress up as a scarecrow? No. Don't. It's fine. I'll do it myself. Don't try to help me.
Margaret, are you making clothes, fashion design stuff?
No, but I got rid of my sewing machine. And I haven't made anything for a while. I always think that I'm going to go back to it. But my eyes are not as good as they were. So it's hard to do that. Also, my cats will rip it up.
Well.
I could make cat toys.
Oh.
That would be good. Or a dog toy.
You were making clothes?
I was making clothes, and I had a little bit of a fashion line and stuff, but then it was kind of like, I didn't know how to do it. And you have to keep on, when you make clothes, like you have to do this, like do a season, do a collection per season. It's just like too much.
Yeah.
The shorts you were wearing at Largo, but I want to say LeMay gold, those shiny.
Those are really uncomfortable, and they give me such a meaty tuck.
What's a meaty tuck?
A meaty tuck is like when you're a drag queen and you have to put your penis in.
Sure, okay. So it's what I thought.
It's a meaty tuck. But I really did like the way those look.
Yeah, they're awesome. And they have like fringe on them or ruffles.
Karen, they're like these adult baby diaper panties.
Yes.
They're like pink and really like metal. They look like they're made of metal.
But were they pink?
They're like silver pink.
There's Joanne.
Oh, let's go get some burlap.
Wait, and did you make those?
No, I didn't make those.
Oh, but that's the...
That's the kind of aesthetic. That's what I would make. If I made clothes, I would make really outlandish,
that's what I was
unwearable things.
Yeah, the bush I was beating around was, did you make those shorts?
But no, I didn't make those. But I would.
Yeah.
Should we take you home? We're really...
This
has been long, right?
It's been fun. But I don't live very far, so you can go ahead.
Okay.
I can't believe
you went to my old house.
Yes.
You've been to my new house a few times.
I know.
You've been to my new house quite a few times. I've been in this house for 22 years.
And then Karen revealed that it wasn't even your old house. It was a third
Laura
person.
Milliken's house.
You went to Curson?
I did a weird... No, not Curson. Remember Laura used to live up behind the Gelsons?
Laura's out. Oh, the wooden shack.
I was combining. No, that was Beechwood. Her last house before she moved.
Okay.
So I was combining turning up your street that you do live on.
Right.
But I just basically tacked that onto the top of.
That's so funny.
Behind Gelson's.
You should have just gone to Kathy Griffin's old house too, while you were at it.
Okay, well, you have to tell me how to get back to your house.
So make a U-turn.
Okay. Not here.
Not as per that very visible sign. Oh, he pedals funny.
I saw your house on Architectural Digest. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
It's so beautiful.
You have to come over.
I would love to. I have to do cribs next week.
Oh.
And I'm really nervous about it because I don't want to clean. Did you have to clean up?
Oh, yeah.
Your house was so clean.
Well, it also, there's not that much shit in it. Like, I planned it that way because I'm so messy that I'm just like, if everything is kind of like open, clean surfaces, then I can't keep it messy.
Oh God, I don't,
you know,
I'm still so messy. I'm so messy. And, I have like just the biggest mess and they're going to look in my refrigerator. I have so much old food in there and they're going to look in my closets. I don't have anything in display. Everything's like, it's a mess.
I would, just leave the messes that you have a funny story about.
Yeah, be like, act like it's like diamonds where you're opening a refrigerator and be like, yeah, y'all, this is like this goat cheese from 8 months ago.
This is Cristal goat cheese.
Yeah.
It's so, I'm not going to clean. I don't want to clean it. I'm rejecting like the kind of.
The premise?
Yeah, I don't want to clean it.
I didn't know they still made cribs.
It's new. They're doing
it. I love it. Is it a good chance for me to pimp my ride?
Yes.
You should, they should send over a producer to be like, eyeball the place and then they should clean it if they want.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should be like, hey, you guys should come and clean this if you really want.
Well, yeah. I said that I'm fine with them photographing whatever. It's totally okay. Just don't let the cats out. But everything is, I'm open to for them to see it all. So I think that's kind of funny, too, if you go to somebody's house. Like, if you went to one of those things and if their house is trashy and it's not Hoarders.
Right?
That's kind of funny.
You're changing it up.
Yeah. Like, it could be sort of, oh, this is okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, what I saw in the background the last time we Zoom podcasted, you have a very beautiful main room.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful house.
It's but a beautiful
it's
just, house.
It's a very, it's messy because I don't. Like organize anything.
Well, yeah. Why? Unless you're having company.
Yeah. And it's just me. So I don't really care. You know,
you should give people a tour of all the different piles. You're just like, here's my mail. Here's some stuff I'm going to take care of later.
It's piles and piles of like old lip balm that I never got to the end of.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene's lips,
they're Carmex. She has the most Carmex lip face.
It's so true.
I love those specifics.
She's just like the joke is that I think she's so dykey looking mm-hmm. that whenever she's on TV, I'm like, is this women's golf? Because she's so Carmexed.
Yeah. She is. She won't pick a color. She only goes.
She just likes the, you know, the menthol color.
The menthol, the addictive menthol of Carmex.
She is like a menthol cigarette.
But she's gross.
Yeah.
And,
the worst.
I think, yeah, we had it so good with the Republicans before. We really fucked it up.
Remember Newt Gingrich? He seemed like so reasonable now.
Now he seems like he's so reasonable. Like, just like, you know.
Do you go to that Pier 1 Imports often?
I have not been there, but...
It's abandoned.
It's abandoned. But there was when I lived in Hollywood, we went to Pier 1 and got those papasan chairs.
Yeah.
And we put them on my patio. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. That was the summer of the Food Network and Xanax.
That was great.
Also, that red couch you got that kind of we got red on our clothes.
Yeah, because we were like the white pants. A little bit inspired by the khaki ads that were there swing dancing in the Gap.
Yeah.
We were wearing a lot
capris.
Of lighter colors on a red couch that we laid on all day long.
And then we would make the red bleed onto the pants, which that doesn't happen anymore, does it?
Mm-mm.
With like couch colors, or maybe because we're in a different tax bracket.
You know, maybe that, and maybe because you got that couch at Pampa.
Oh, we got it at Pampa.
Say that again.
Pampa.
There's a furniture store that used to be on, I believe, Beverly, and anytime we drive by it, Margaret would got to go to Pampa. And it was one of those things that, like, and maybe because of my excessive drinking or whatever, it would get stuck in my head of hearing you say,
yeah,
got to go to Pampa.
We got to go to Pampa.
So years later, I would, like, take pictures and text it to her and be like, I drove by Pampa.
And then, during the Black Lives Matter riot, like, the sort of things, like, the everything, their windows got broken at Pampa.
Did it really?
I think I sent you a picture.
That sounds like Black Ops. That sounds like...
It was like fake.
Super fake.
It was fake, not really Black Lives Matter, but it was like right-wingers pretending.
Right.
Yes.
That, that's what all that is.
Because they went and parked that old cop car that was like a Chevelle, and then they lit it on fire mm-hmm. right by Television City.
Yeah.
And everyone's standing around like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. The march is down there. That was crazy.
There was like all of these weird, they're called accelerationists, and they're like trying to pretend that people that were protesting police brutality were actually doing these violent acts, and that's not the case at all.
No, it's bullshit. It's crazy.
You know, trying to blame it on this idea of Antifa, which also doesn't exist.
Yeah, the most obvious example of that was in Santa Monica. They were breaking into the Patagonia store and running out with longboards and certain flip-flops.
No.
Yeah, it was footage that blew my mind. But
so dumb.
Hey, it got results. Protest. I'm into it. I'm into protesting. I didn't know I was. Not to be controversial. I didn't mean to silence the already quiet car.
I like a protest.
Yeah. I didn't know they work so well.
Well, I like the fact that, especially compared to when I was in my 20s, when we were in our 20s, and no one gave a single shit about politics in the least. Like, mm-hmm. you weren't supposed to, except for, like, Bill Clinton, ha ha ha, whatever.
Yeah.
And now people are so, I mean, they're just mobilized, and it's awesome to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not leaving it to all the old people to take care of it anymore.
Oh, no.
Because they don't.
Like my dad said, all the old people like him need to just die off. But then that makes me think he's talking about himself, and it makes me sad.
Well, it's a nice sentiment, though.
I know what he means, yes.
Yeah.
I appreciate what he means. And no offense if you're old.
I'm old.
I'm old.
I'm old.
We're all... It's
a good thing to think it's supposed to be middle age.
Right. Right.
I used to think middle age was 30, though.
Right. Well, the life expectancy used to be 60, so.
Back in the 30s.
Yeah, I was looking at, I don't know why, the football team from the University of Montana in the 50s, and they're all at cigarettes, and they're balding. They were 18 years old, but they all looked like extras from Dick Tracy.
It's just so interesting how, I guess, we're evolving as humans.
It's also weird how getting older, but then still feeling, I think I still feel like 28
yeah.
all the time. It's just, I thought it would go away.
No, it doesn't go away. I mean, I think that, yeah, I don't know why, but I've never felt younger, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just so immature and young.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. I think that that's the goal in life. So we're doing it.
But I did have a hemorrhoid.
Right. There's the little
there's physical things here and there.
Aging.
You could have a hemorrhoid when you're young, too.
Yeah. If you push too hard.
Yeah, but I think mine was from excessive sitting.
Oh, no. Well, then I'm in real danger.
I have to sit on one of those donuts.
I think I do need like a donut, like a hemorrhoid pillow.
I just use my airline neck pillow.
Oh, just sit on that.
Yeah.
That's handy.
Yeah.
Or good double duty.
Sit on the end of a massage bed.
Yes.
Just poke it through there. The people.
So when you're going to go, you're going to make a sort of a little lefty here, but you're not going to just go left, and then you're going to go right at this light.
Okay. Got you.
Do you have to do any traveling? What are you preparing for?
I'm going to San Francisco a day after tomorrow.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
But I'm only there for a few hours. I'm going to doing San Francisco on my show, then I'm Portland, and then Seattle for the weekend.
Oh, nice. That's
so it's very fast.
That's a good run. Just 3 days in a row?
Yeah, just Friday, San Francisco, at the Palace of Fine Arts, which...
oh, nice.
It just reminds me of the Exploratorium, which is not even there anymore.
You would touch a cold thing and think it was wet.
Mind-blowing. It was a science museum that was interactive.
Like yeah. Meow Wolf, kind of?
What's that?
What's that?
Oh, that's in... not. I always want to say El Paso, but it's in New Mexico, and it is called...
Santa Fe
yeah, has this, it's called Meow Wolf, and it's installations, like it's an art museum, but it's interactive, and you follow a storyline, and you end up crawling through, like, go into a dryer, and then all of a sudden you're in your grandparents' kitchen, and
get in the left lane here,
and it's kind of like you figure out a puzzle, but it's all art installations, and it's
and then
amazing.
Turn left at this,
right.
Yes.
The Exploratorium is in San Francisco, and it was more like you could pull a bow back and forth and play a violin. They had like had this kind of thing, and it was just basically where you went for field trips.
Yeah.
When you didn't live in San Francisco, but did you also do it when you did live in San Francisco?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great.
And it was like for kids, but it was like a science museum, but it was like very hands-on, interactive, early interactive. It was super exciting.
Yeah. When I did Meow Wolf, it was all kids and me just giggling and running with
it's
a group
so
of kids. That I did. Yeah, it was so fun. If we had that growing up, I would have blossomed into a better person.
Well, it's never too late.
It isn't. That's what we're all 28.
Margaret, thank you so much for being our premier guest.
Thank you. I loved it.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank
Great
you.
Job.
Thank
it's
you.
Very long.
Thank you. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too. I love you too. I miss you.
I miss you. Let's do Largo
okay.
or something.
That'd be great.
I'm going to remind Karen that she said she would do that.
You got to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Please. Have
great shows. Oh, there's a button.
That is so futuristic.
<I know. laughs> Have great shows.
Thank you.
Have
Thank
a great
you.
Time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks Bye. Again for the other night.
Thank you. Thank you for the cake pop.
Bye. Oh, she's the best.
Yeah.
Hello, sir. Should we wrap it up?
I'm so sorry. God, all of a sudden I was just in a car and we were hanging out. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
That's actually what we were doing. That's the beauty of this podcast.
It's so funny. I forgot we were podcasting. I thought we were just driving in a car while recording. D-Y-N-A-R. Yeah, we haven't honked for so long. This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's D-Y-N-A-R Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.